World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but little things stress me. It's little things that ask my wife. I learned that from my dad. My dad, I remember as a young kid, being out in our yard, and my dad wasn't very mechanical, and he's trying to fix the lawnmower. And after he couldn't get it to work, I remember he threw his wrench. That was one of the first times I ever saw my dad really display some anger. I must have been maybe 6, 7 years old, I suppose. And he always called you some buck. I don't know if you guys must have been Appalachian talk. You some buck, he would say. I remember he kicked that thing and threw his wrench down. You some buck. And that's what frustrates me. I'm frustrated about this morning. My cell phone, it won't charge. I took it to the store. They cleaned it all out. I got 17 different cords around this house, and I almost have to hold my cell phone. So for any of you folks out there are techies, maybe you can help me out and say, Coach, you need a new cell phone or you need a new cord. They say, well, your cord's too cheap. You have all this stuff. Listen, it's got a plug on one end and a plug on the other end, and it goes in there, and I don't care which one I put in there, it doesn't charge. You say, well, what's the big deal? Big deal is I'm going to need my cell phone today. We're going on a bread run today. I forgot to tell all of you guys that. I'm going to meet Jim Kraft and the Breadmen and some others. We're going down to Pomeroy, Ohio. You say, what? Yep. Pomeroy, Ohio. We had horrible flooding up here in about the last 10 days. Down along the Ohio River. Had a lot of snow up. See, if you were to look at where we are in Ohio, you'd have to understand the Great Lakes are up there, and then the water flows down out of the three rivers that come into the Monongahela, the Ohio, and the Allegheny River, flowing to Pittsburgh. That's why they call the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium the Three Rivers Stadium, although I think they've changed the name of it. They're the confluence of three rivers there. And so those three rivers flow into the Ohio River, and the Ohio River flows down into the Mississippi, and Mississippi down in the Gulf of Mexico. We had an overabundance of rain and snow melt that hit our area about 10 days ago and caused great flooding down in Pomeroy, Ohio, all down, get on to Louisville. Louisville got hammered, all of that. And so we're taking a truckload of bread down there today. Jim Kraft's going to meet us down there. And I said, bread man, some other guys. So I needed my cell phone. But of course, I don't even know why I need my cell phone. I can't post anything on Facebook because I'm still in Facebook jail for something I did 8 years ago, whatever. Other than that, I'm in a pretty good mood. I'm going to take my wife with me and my granddaughter. We believe in doing family ministry here together, so we're all excited about that. Heading to Pomeroy, Ohio. Heading to Pomeroy.
Hey, now, Coach, I don't mean to change that, but I can give you, I think, a pretty good solution. I use is a wireless charger. It's actually your phone just lays up on it. There's no plugging into the phone, and it automatically charges the battery, because you could have a short somewhere between that plug inside your phone to your
you
battery.
You are the man, Dale. You are the man. You know, I saw one of those on someplace online the other day. You know, they have this Facebook that stuff pops up there. I'm going to get one of those, and I can just lay that thing on there. And I plugged it in last night, Dale, and I get up this morning, and it's got 22%. 22%! That's charged all night. So I'm going to do that. Thank you. Thank you for that tip. I'm going to do that. Actually, best thing to do would be to throw that phone. You know what else really frustrates me? I don't know if you guys got to see me on the Hagman show last night. I was talking about some of this stuff, the being banned on Facebook and all that stuff. You know, I get up early this morning. I get up early this morning. I jumped on Facebook, and I don't know about you. Sometimes I close out Facebook and then come back and then close it out and come back as I'm doing some of my research. You know, every time I come back to Facebook, it's the same stories. Now, they tell us that there are millions and millions and millions and millions of people on Facebook. How can it be when I go to Facebook, I have the same news feed all the time? Well, Mark Trump's not with us. He just texted me that he's flying to Calgary, and he's not going to be with us this morning, but I wish he was here because he would tell us that it's all a logarithm. That's the way it is. So we are all being censored one way or another, whether we believe it or not. I don't want to dive too deep into that. I'm gonna start out this morning. What I want to do here? Should I do that? Yeah, let's do that before we get into it. I want to acknowledge Rob Pugh. Hey Jared, can you go to the website and pull up that Wisconsin Christian News, the event we're having up there this weekend? Because I want to plug that again to anybody who might be up that area. And then Rob yesterday also posted a commentary at newswithviews.com. Says as the pulpits go, so go the nation. It was really well done. Rob's a multi-talented guy, and I want to give him a good pop of what's going on. March 9th and 10th, Courageous Christianity. This is at the Wisconsin Christian News up in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Folks, I don't know how far you are away from that thing, but if you're 3 hours, I just tell you, you're going to hear this. I get the opportunity to be part of events, different parts of the country. This lineup of speakers is unbelievable. It's all free. It's all free. Bill Fetter, if you've never heard Bill Fetter, Bill's going to kick it off on Friday night. He's going to he's speaking twice, actually, Friday. He's unbelievable. Historian William J. Fetter and Pastor Bill Dunphy, courageous pastor. Pastor Dunphy's the pastor who picketed the strip club, and then the strippers showed up topless at his church, made national news. Pastor Bill. And we got David Arthur down there. David Arthur's going to speak on coming out of that QRS-TUV-WXYZ lifestyle. A powerful time. Flip Benham on Saturday morning. Rusty on Saturday afternoon. Matt Twell and his family. I'm just telling you, this would be something that you really, I would put on your list. Man, if I could get there, I would get there. I'm 3 hours away, 4 hours away. It will be worth it. It's going to start Friday night at 6:15. I think it starts. Get yourself a hotel room. Stay till it's over Saturday evening and head back home. You will not regret it. And then Jared, I want people to see, just pulled up and we're not going to read it. Rob Pugh posted a commentary at News with Views. Yesterday, I believe it was, and I kind of brushed over and didn't get it. I'm going to go. Okay, Lord, I heard you. I'm going to go there in a second. Well, I'm not going to put it up there, but y'all check this out. We'll make this available in our links. News with You is Rob posted an article called "As Go the Pulpit, So Go the Nation," and I loved reading this because how do I say this without sounding hokey? Man, there's a lot. I read a lot of growth in Rob Pugh. And I've known Rob for about 4 or 5 years now. The growth, I told him the other day, hey, Rob, you've grown some hair on your chest. And he's always had it, and it's always been inside of him. He's becoming more and more bold. And I know he got all kinds of response. It's pretty long, so we're not going to read it. But I would exhort you guys to do that. And, you know, I had a discussion yesterday, not a discussion. I got an email from Sarge regarding some analytics about our show, how many are watching and all that kind of stuff, and where are we going with it. And Sarge sent me something. It was really, I don't know. Remember I told you guys, we don't know what the scoreboard is. Remember that is, we don't know what the scoreboard is. And so Sarge sent me a video, YouTube video. Dare I say it? Stupid, just stupid. I mean, it's just more of the same stuff. Tinfoil hat. The government's doing this, the government's doing that, and this happened down in Florida. No, this happened in the just conspiracy theory, and it had 66,000 views on YouTube. 66,000. And so I get scratching my head, and I got to be careful because then I end up being like one of those pastors saying, well, I'm not being very effective. I don't have 66,000 views. We must not be that popular. We must not be having much of an impact. So there for a minute, I'm scratching my head, said, gee, maybe we need to change the format here. Maybe we need to go to something different so we can get our views up. See, there it goes. Don't know what scoreboard is. And then I began to only can happen. My wife, she kicked me in the hind end figuratively. She said, are you kidding me? And then she starts to rattle off. Look what Rob Pugh is doing. Look what Chad Estes is doing. Look what Kevin's doing. Look what on and on and on. Didn't you just get back from out in Missouri? Didn't you do something out? On and on and on. So again, see, numbers are deceptive. Numbers are deceptive. And I guess in my heart, I get frustrated because I know more guys ought to be part of this. More men are hungry out there. More men are looking for something that's going to, I would say that this show over 2.5 years, however long we've been doing it, we got changed lives. We've got changed lives. We don't have 66,000 views on a video. We got changed lives. We got guys who are actually putting feet to their faith. We got guys who are actually beginning to make a difference right where they live. So I had to caution myself. I had to shake my head and look at the scoreboard and figure out what the scoreboard is. The scoreboard, listen, you can be famous. You can be famous and not be doing anything. I look at some of these people. What's their name? The two black ladies. Michelle loves them. She watches them all the time. Diamond and Silk. Is that who it is?
Yep.
Yeah.
And yep. You know, they're good. It's entertainment. Sit on my table and eat popcorn. Watch them. Ah, those girls are really good. But are they really having any impact, or is it just more entertainment? Are they just getting more and more views? Is that what it is? Getting more views? So getting views now, that's the impact of it? See, bigger's not always better. Bigger's not always better. And if you're measuring me, I'm talking to, if you're measuring impact by size, you're no different than a megachurch. No different than a megachurch. And I understand just from in this queue, these 20, right now it says 22, 23 of us in this queue right here, right now. You know something, guys? There ain't anything like this on the internet. There is nothing like this on the internet. And part of the problem is, not the problem, part of the issue is, dare I say it, a lot of men don't want to go deep. They don't want to go deep. They'd rather sit in their easy chair, pull up a YouTube and laugh through the YouTube and think that somehow they've made a difference. And the challenge of this show is, we don't sit in chair and eat popcorn, at least not we're not supposed to. I do at night, I eat popcorn at night. We're challenging you to get out in the streets. And to some people, that is uncomfortable, and they're not going to watch it. They're not going to watch it. But I believe the time is coming when the 500 or the 2,000 or the five, however many people are watching, when the call goes out that, boys, we got to do something, I believe we're going to have people show up. We're going to have more than Diamond and Silk. There'll be more people show up than Diamond and Silk. So I'm just patting myself on the back and pat you guys on the back and saying, hey, listen, we're having a greater impact than what we understand, because each one of you are the result of some seeds that have been planted, and you're all bearing much fruit. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. We train leaders here. We train leaders. It ain't for everybody. Go ahead, jump in here a second.
Yeah, Coach.
Hang on, Larry. Well, Larry's getting ready there. Jared, get that video of Chad's up there. I want to show that here real quick. Just again, show you that some fruit of what's going on. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you have just demonstrated a perfect example of being obedient to the word, because you allowed, looking at how many views some other video had and stuff, Satan immediately started putting covetousness in your mind and your heart for those numbers. But you allowed the truth of what God's word says to override those emotions that Satan tried to plant in you and say, hey, you know what? Not coveting is the way to go, because when I'm not coveting, I'm accomplishing something.
Amen. And it's comparison anyway. Hey, Jared, it's the second thing I sent you. It says Chad Wheel of Distraction on it. It's the second one I sent you. Are you kidding me? Okay, hang on. I'm gonna send it to you. I guess it's just me in the morning trying to get all this stuff going here. I'm sending it to you right now.
Hey, Coach, and while you're doing that, Here's a good one. It goes, you know, we had our football practice, our homeschool football, and we're, you know, get these kids back in shape. They're doing push-ups. Of course, most of them look like seals on rocks. And I said, listen, they say that practice makes perfect, and that's a facade, because it's perfect practice.
There you go, man.
Perfect.
And brother, you can practice mistakes.
What you're doing, right? What you're doing, what you have done, forget me nots. Look at the things you have done just in the flood ravages of Louisiana and Texas.
Right.
This group of men has done a magnitude huge above what some of these mega churches who did absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
No more than Diamond and Silk did, that's for sure. And I'm not making fun of Diamond and Silk. More than what Lionel does. You can watch Lionel. He's got 60,000 views to one of his videos he puts on. And it's because we've become a spectator country. We've become spectators. And so we love to sit and gorge and eat information, right? And not do anything with it. We have to exercise our faith. So just kind of a kick in the hind end to me. It woke me up a little bit. And then I want to show you some more fruit. Our buddy Chad Estes, we've awakened something in Chad Estes. Are you with us today, Chad? I didn't even see if he's in here this morning or not. He sent his video out this morning. I thought, my goodness. And this is just the simplicity of a guy who wants to make the difference. Hey guys, listen, we're setting up. Jared and I spoke about this yesterday. We are setting up an interactive website off of the Coach Dave Live website, where you guys are going to be able to, we're going to try to make it like a Facebook thing where you can post videos, you can post articles, where it's just going to be a free for all for those of you in the huddle who are looking for like-minded people and you can share information. Jared's going to be working on putting that thing together, and we'll have our own little thing. It's going to be called Inside the Huddle, and it's going to be where we disseminate information to each other, do chat in there, do communication in there, and we think that that's going to help some of you guys be a little bit more active. And so Chad can make a video like he did and post it where he did, but also post it on our website. Vinny, I know you got all kinds of information. Larry, I know you guys have all kinds of information. We're going to give you a place, JR, where you can. I know you have your own websites. I understand that, but this is cross-pollination. Cross-pollination. You can post it on your website, and you can post it on the Huddle website so that we can better disseminate the information out and begin to drive people to that. So that's something we're working on right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to call out some of you, some of those hidden talents that you have and you don't use. Well, maybe you have something that you want to write. We're going to give you a place to post it. Maybe you want to make a 3-minute video. I know Ray LeBlanc was doing that for a while, making videos and putting them on YouTube. And then probably you get frustrated because nobody views them. Say, nobody views them. Well, nobody views them because there's no platform really to put them on. We're going to try to develop that. So we've got some plans down the road on that. So then Chad Estes could make his video, post it on YouTube, and post it on Inside the Huddle. And here's a video that Chad just made yesterday, and I want to acknowledge Chad. I'm proud of Chad and everything he does. Go ahead, Jared. Damn, he's ugly.
Talk about firing Jeff Sessions or the memo or the economy or Russian hacking or gun control. I want to remind you, just briefly remind you, that don't forget to get yourself and your family squared away. Make sure you're squared away spiritually first. Then ensure that you're squared away with provisions. Beans, bullets, band-aids, and bouillon. You're going to get what you can get. But the longer you wait, the more it costs. Might I remind you that here in America, the food cost has risen 27% in the last 2 years. You're not getting the same size of stuff in each can. Find a 15-ounce can of anything. Okay? Stuff's not happening. Do not allow yourselves to be distracted about what's going on with all this other political stuff, because that's all it is. It's distraction of political stuff. Because once they released the memo, they said, oh, that's the House memo. There's one also for the Senate. See, it's just one more thing just to kind of drag it out. Okay, look, something's going to happen, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it. The only way that you can affect what's going on is in you, the people that you love, your own household, and your friends and those around you, okay? So let's bring it back home. Let's bring it, literally bring it back home. Stay focused on what really matters. And remember to beware and be aware. Have a good day.
Hey, man, old Chad, right? God bless Chad. And so that's fruit. And I'm saying that's fruit. Somewhere along the line, all of this stuff for how many years has been bubbling up inside of Chad, and he really had no outlet. And if you've been to the Estes Ranch, it's not a ranch. It's a house with some acreage and some pigs. It ain't a ranch. He ain't LBJ or George W. Bush. He calls it the Estes Ranch. But now all of a sudden he has an outlet for this gift that God has put inside of him. We want to help him exercise that gift. And I look in the queue over here just as Chad was doing that thing. I go down through I can't even imagine the gifts that are over here that have no place to be able to express themselves, no place to be able to be developed. So we want you to know, I want you to know, first of all, I appreciate every one of you guys who get up early in the morning and tune into this program. For whatever reason you tune into this program, some of you are hooked, but there is great spiritual growth that's going on in here. Now, we don't always agree. I mean, isn't that good? And just because we don't always agree, let's not split off in denominations, okay? Let's have it out like men. Let's fight it out like men, and let's agree to disagree when the whole thing's over. And where there is unity, God will command the blessing. Not uniformity, unity. Now, what I'm talking about that is, and I've used this illustration before, when I was coaching football and we were making our game plan for the upcoming week, we would get the coaches in a room and we'd throw around different ideas, maybe how we're going to attack the opponent or how we're going to stop the opponent. We would throw around different ideas, get the chalk and draw up on the chalkboard, and I'd draw something, then Norm would jump up and he'd draw something, then somebody else would jump and they'd draw something. And sometimes we'd get mad. No, we can't do that. No, that isn't going to work. They're going to do that. We would argue back and forth. But when we left the meeting room, we had unity, not uniformity. Those are not the same thing. And what that requires is sometimes, boys, you got to swallow hard. You got to swallow hard for the good of the group. And the one thing that we never permitted is after the game was over, we never allowed somebody who didn't like the plan going into the game to say when the game was over and we got our butts beat. They were never allowed to say, see, I told you guys that was going to happen. I told you guys and you didn't listen to it. Never did that happen. Didn't happen. Because when we left the room, it was our plan. And if it didn't work, if we didn't use your plan, it was because you didn't make your plan convincingly enough. Am I making sense? So we can't be afraid of being, as I said, just because you don't have to be my twin to be my brother. And the world's falling apart Christian-wise because we're fighting, starting new denominations every day over somebody else's plan and somebody else's idea. Robert Sellers says Gideon had 300 men. Jesus had 12. God used a few to do his work. Amen, Robert. Amen. That's the way I feel about it. Okay, I got this stuff. Anybody jump in here? Jump in here. Hey, go ahead. Somebody jump in here. I know. I feel you. I feel your pain.
Coach, like I told you when you were here, I somehow caught you when you first started this program, and I listened to you and I got engaged, and it's like you give me a guilty conscience, you kicked me in the ass and started giving me the spirit, basically opened up the spirit in me to start taking on things that are way outside of my wheelhouse. This is stuff that I could have never imagined in my life that I'd be trying to do. So I appreciate what you say, and you know what? There ain't nothing you haven't said yet that has gotten me twisted. A couple of times you said something and it kind of got just like, what in the heck? And then it's like, you know what? He's right. You're right. I just, we're brothers on the same path, and I am just appreciative of what you do. Keep kicking me in the ass, keep pushing me on, and we're going to keep making some waves, buddy.
Yeah, because Kevin, we can never, ever forget the fact that all politics is local. Guys, this is local. And Chad's video told us not to be distracted by what's going on with Jeff Sessions and are they going to fire Sessions and is she going to be indicted? All that stuff is okay, but we have no control over it. Chad called it, what did he call it? The wheel of distraction. The wheel of distraction. And so we have to continue to work on what's going on locally and the difference we can make locally. Now, I'm like everybody else. I watch all that stuff. There ain't no tinfoil hat thing I don't stick my finger into. You know what I'm telling you? Ain't none. I'm a lightning rod. I told Michelle today in our time of prayer today that Lord, make us a lightning rod. You know what happens when a lightning rod? Any old farmers out there? They have lightning rods on the building. Anybody know? Can somebody explain to us what a lightning rod did? I mean, I know, but I'm trying to do some audience participation here.
It grabbed that lightning that was going to hit the house or hit the barn and blow that barn up and sent it around that building and threw it into the ground so it didn't damage anything.
That's it. So that lightning said, I'm a lightning rod. I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, honey, I'm a lightning rod and it's a good thing. I'm a lightning rod and crack, it comes down and it hits me and disseminates out. And it disseminates out and it doesn't go into the ground. It goes into Kevin and it goes into JR and it goes into Chad, and it goes into Robert. It disseminates it. So we shouldn't be afraid of being a lightning rod because the lightning rod takes that power and distributes it out. Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good?
Awesome.
That's what's going on, man. Huh? Be a lightning rod. Don't get offended when the lightning hits you. That's why you're there. That's why they put it up there. Hey, lightning, hit me. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Crap. Disseminate. I got goosebumps on that one. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That's a good picture, isn't it? So be a lightning rod, man. Be a lightning rod. And I'm not, here's the good thing. I'm not making any of you do it. Okay.
We're volunteering, brother.
It's a volunteer. Yep. This ain't a draft. And you know, the worst problem you're going to have is your conscience. There are people out there who are not with us anymore. I don't know why. I don't know how they're handling it with their conscience. Because after a while, guys, if you get to the point where you begin to ignore your conscience, then your conscience is basically dead. It's no good to you anymore. When you reach the point where you keep hearing and having the prodding of Almighty God and you ignore it, eventually he stops knocking on the door. That prodding goes away. And God will find somebody else. And you can go on, you can do your thing, do whatever you want to, and live however you want to, and it's okay. But you're gonna stand before the Lord and you're gonna see the missed opportunity that you had. That he was tapping you on the shoulder, and you had all these reasons why you couldn't do it. All these reasons why. I told you guys this before. I'm not gonna go into depth. It's just some things probably best not to say. I told Michelle, I want to die standing on my feet on the front line rather than laying in a nursing home. And then if the next 10 years of my life, I'm a lightning rod and at some point I get struck, that'd be a lot better to me than make it 90 living in a nursing home. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen.
And you're all going to die anyway. you know, you're all going to die. None of us can pick the how or the way or the when. None of us can do that. But we can be that lightning rod every day. And when the lightning rod hits you and it blows up the barn, then you'll know that was your time. But I'll stand before the Lord and I'll say, Lord, I was out there, man. I was trying to do whatever I could do for you. And that's the spirit that I'm trying to put in each and every one of us. We love ourselves so daggone much. We love ourselves so much. I do too. I fight it every day. My little grandbabies, my granddaughters came over here last night. I'm thinking, oh Lord, they're so beautiful. And Lord, I want to be around, watch them grow up, hold them on my lap and take them out and take them fishing and teach them the things of the Lord. I want to be around to do that. But see, that's not even, It's not even about me, see. It's about the little children that are going to come out of my little granddaughter. It's about the heritage being passed down to them and the environment in which we live and the nation in which we live. What point does a man, greater love is no man than this, and he laid down his life for those who are following after him. Oh, I could live so much more of a my buddy Norm called me yesterday. Hang on, just let me. This catharsis, is that what they said? Let me have this catharsis. Moment of catharsis. I was Mr. Jock. I'm a coach. I used to coach football. I used to coach girls basketball. I used to coach baseball. I coached wrestling. I refereed high school basketball for I don't even know how many years. That was my life. It consumed me. Everything I did. And I spoke to my buddy Norm. He's probably listening right now on his way to work. Spoke to him yesterday. And he was talking about going to basketball games and stuff that he's doing. And God bless him. And he's still coaching and he's living. That's what he's supposed to be doing. He's 70 years old, still coaching, still full life and everything. And talking about all this stuff. And I said, last thing I said to him, if Norm is on here right now, he would tell you. He said, I'll see you later, coach. I said, hey, Norm. He said, yeah. I said, Norm, tell all those people that you run into that I don't miss any of it. I don't miss coaching. I don't miss refereeing. I don't miss any of it. And I've never been more fulfilled or more content in what I'm doing than I am right now. Guys, that's the power of a transformed heart. See, the Bible says that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And I used to think that meant he'll give you whatever you want. No. No, when the Lord puts that desire in your heart, when the Lord gives you the desires of your heart, man, oh man, oh man. And when that desire of your heart comes into you and you follow hard after the Lord, there ain't nothing better than that. And so that's my call. That's why I sit here every morning to try to call you guys to that type of commitment to the Lord, to something far greater than yourself. That when you're laying on that deathbed or when you're just before they stick you in that casket, you're going to look back over your shoulder. And you're going to be full of regret, the things that you could have done and should have done. And you didn't open your mouth because you're worried what this person might say or this person might say. You might not get a raise or you might not get promoted. And all these thousands of reasons that were just earthly reasons and doesn't even matter. And I'm with Michelle and I were praying this morning before I came down here. And I said, Lord, just deliver me, man. Just deliver me from the cares of the world. Just cares being burdened by this and burdened by that. And they're all just so meaningless. I know of a guy dropped over dead the other day, and I'm thinking about as he dropped over dead, I wonder what he's been worrying about the last couple of weeks. Whatever he was worrying about for the last couple of weeks is just meaningless. It was just meaningless, and it's meaningless now. And if we could all get that perspective in our lives, that these burdens, these things that we are worrying about are all meaningless. When your heart stops, they disappear. And live a little bit more rambunctiously. Live a little bit more sold out for the things that really, really matter. And those are the ones you love, the cause of Christ, and a living legacy it's going to leave to others. Somebody jump in here real quick. My phone dinged. I want to see who it is.
I wanted to just say right quick, Coach, I used to try to be a popularity guy. I wanted everybody to like me. You know, being in the real estate business and being a real estate broker and starting my own business, I wanted and needed everybody to want me and like me. Yep. And I've got a pretty big following on my Facebook. And since I've been listening to you and around you, I could care less. You know what? Some of these people have called me radical. Some of these people have said you're freaking crazy and taken off on me. But you know what? When you start getting flack, you know you're over the target. You're stepping on the cat's tails and making them turn around and hiss at you. You have helped me become convicted in the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to do everything I can to promote him and convict others around me. I appreciate what you've done for me. I can't say it any more than that. I appreciate what you've done for me.
Here's the question, see. There's a lot of people got Jesus as Savior, but they don't have him as Lord. Do you understand the difference? He's their Savior, but he ain't their Lord. There's a big difference. Now, who's trying to get in here with me today?
Oh, I,
Dave, I, real quick. I was at a funeral about 6 months ago. They said it twice. They said
Hang
it
on,
twice. Everybody loved him. He had no enemies.
Yeah.
And I sat there saying, what a sad life.
That's right.
I don't want to have everybody liking me when I'm gone. I want to have a few enemies. I want to have a few people talk poorly about me for what I stood for.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, I'm with you, Roger. That's a, you know, I don't want to get back into it. Billy Graham. Everybody loved Billy Graham. Something wrong about that. I can tell you that.
Hey, Paul,
amen.
Yeah,
hang on. I got Matt on the line here. Go ahead, Matt.
I just wanted to tell you, Dave, that what you talked about with your prayers this morning with Michelle and all that, it's working. You're a lot calmer today than what you were yesterday. God is working. He has given you the desire of your heart today.
Amen.
Imagine that.
Isn't that something?
The desire of your heart. And you are absolutely right, Dave. When we start loving God like we should, that's when we get the desires of our heart. That's when we really become prosperous.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hey.
All right, Dave. Bye.
Bye-bye. See, by Scripture says, I will above all things that I prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. You know what gives you a prospering soul? What gives you a prospering soul is walking in the will of God. That makes your soul prosper. Not going out and getting stuff and owning this and accomplishing that. Walking in the will of God makes your soul prosper. Go ahead, Larry. I'm trying to get my phone working again here. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned, you said a lot of people, Jesus is their Savior, but not their Lord.
Yep.
I have to kind of step in here and say no. Because that is the message that the false church out there is preaching. He can be your Savior. He can be your Savior, and they stop there. But the Word, when you look into it and when you look into what the gospel message is, as Jesus talked about it even, if you don't make him your Lord, he's not going to be your Savior.
Yeah, I don't think that's controversial. I think that's what I said. And we want him to be our Savior, but we don't want him to be our Lord. You all right? And what does the Lord do? Hey, Jared, that'd be good. I think we did this before. Jared, Webster's 1828 dictionary. It'd be good. But let's find out what the Lord is. My buddy John Hartzler just texted me. Boy, I'm multitasking here today. John Hartzler said Jesus was the ultimate lightning rod.
In your excitement, you didn't say they want Jesus as Savior. You said Jesus is their Savior, but he's not their Lord. And we've got to stop propagating that falsehood.
That's right. He can't be your Savior if he's not your Lord.
Oh, right. And Matt, I know you're listening. You know, God will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to give you what you want. He says he will put his desires in your heart as you keep praying and his will be done.
Larry, I just said that.
Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we want to get to the end, then, and skip over the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we seek God, his kingdom, and his holy righteousness, I'm telling you, the contentment in your list of things that you want will dwindle, because all you'll desire to do is the will of the Father.
Amen. Changes everything. Hey, I'm not trying to come across as some holier than thou Christian, okay? I got my struggles. I asked my wife. I got my stuff. I have my selfish moments. So don't be thinking that, don't be thinking I'm holier than thou. But I'm going to tell you this. When I lay in that grave, when they put me in that casket, some are going to be crying and some are going to be laughing. That's just kind of the way it is. And be leery when all people speak well of you. All right? Be leery. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. There's some people, hate to tell you this, I don't want to be their friend. I don't want to be their friend. Friendship evangelism. That's not what it's about with me. I want to be, how about this? I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. What a stupid song. I understand that that's scripture, but God is he's my Lord. He's my friend. He's my friend. And what's a Lord? Why, a Lord is a master. Wow. A person possessing supreme power and authority. A ruler, a governor. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my master. He's the person possessing the supreme power in my life. Jesus is my authority. Jesus is my ruler. And Jesus is my governor. Wow. Jesus is a tyrant. An oppressive ruler. Thank God he's not oppressive. Thank God he's not. I'm a bond servant. I choose to be a servant. A husband. Oh, my goodness. A master is a baron, the proprietor of a manor, as a manor, as the lord of the manor. The lord is a nobleman, a title of honor in Great Britain, given to those who are noble by birth or creation. Six, an honorary title bestowed on certain officials, characters. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. And if he's Lord, he'll make this phone work. So my frustration will go down. I got to use it. Go ahead. Somebody jump in here real quick. I got a video we'll show here in a minute.
King of kings and Lord of lords. He's going to come back to this earth and he's going to be riding a white horse. He's going to have eyes of fire and a sword of a tongue.
So Kevin, he is King of kings and Lord of lords, but he may not be yours. He may not be yours. That's for sure. He may not be your Lord, but he is the Lord.
But in the end, brother, they will find out he was, because their knee will bow and their tongue will come out of their mouth and confess.
Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, it's charging again. All right, all right, all right. Cool.
Amen. Sadly, a lot of those and a lot of those tongues will be in the bowels of hell when they make that confession and bow, and it's too late for them.
Folks, listen, if you're not getting into the chat room, I don't know if I make this, if you know that this is a chat room. Hey, Jared, are these guys able to get into this chat room without being in the queue, or is this something that's only in the queue? Well, YouTube's where all the trolls go and say bad things and, you know, talk about different stuff, but good chat going on here in the queue. Kind of distracts me because I love to get over and read. Okay, I only got 18 minutes. This is okay though, hasn't it? This is okay. Well, see, we're building a team. We're building an army. And the last thing we need is another mega church. And come on here. Some of you guys I've never met, but I feel like I know you. I see you every morning. I spend more time with you than I do anybody go to church with. So it's relationship building. And the sooner the church gets to be 20,000, then nobody knows anybody. Oh, the numbers will be good. I'll be right up there with, what's her name again? What's her name? I can't remember. Those black girls. Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to say black? Something in lace.
Diamond and silk. Diamond and silk.
Diamond and silk. Diamond and silk. Yeah, be like them.
Or Paula White.
Or Paula White. Hey, Jared, do this. Pull up a... We may not watch the whole thing. This is Paul Washer. Paul Washer. And I came across this video. Again, we may not watch the whole thing, but just the optics in this video. The title of this thing is, this is our real battle, is society's conditioning men to be weak. And I just want you to, as you listen to Paul here, I just want you to look at the pictures, look at the men in this video. Go ahead, Jerry.
Come in, you know, on the web, you know, like 10,000 people are calling for my death.
I think you missed it there. There you go.
I'll come in, you know, on the web, you know, like 10,000 people are calling for my death. I just preach at a place where everybody wants to beat me up afterwards. I come home feeling kind of sad. My wife says, "What's wrong?" I said, "Man, those guys want to beat me up. Those guys are trashing me. And it's just like everybody's against me." She said, "They're supposed to be against you. This is what you do. Man up. Go out there and fight again. It's what you're called to do. This is what men do. They stand against falsehood. Go out there and preach." Men, here's what I want you to realize. This will help you later on when you get married. Let's say all hell's breaking loose. Everybody in the world has just come to your office with signs, "Down with you." Everybody hates you. The world's falling apart. Happens to me about every other day. I get in my car and I drive home, and I'm trying to get my heart right. And when I pull in that driveway, I do not get out of that car until I've settled some issues. It's not about me. It's not about my whining. It's not about my needs. It's not about my emotion. It's not about all this goofy stuff that people are telling you as men you need to be concerned about. My only concern is getting out of that car and walking into that house strong and joyful. Because the burdens I'm supposed to carry as a man, my wife is not supposed to carry, nor are my children supposed to carry. See, you've been told that you need to marry a woman who can, you know, just carry you, basically. You can share all your emotions with. Just die to your emotions, okay? Just die to all that psychobabble and everything else you've been told that you ought to be feeling inside. Say no to your feelings, and like my wife says, man up. And just do it. Carry the burden. Cast your cares upon Christ. Because your wife was not created to carry your burdens. Children were not created to carry your burdens. And brothers in Christ can carry some of your burdens. But guys, I want to tell you honestly, I see Christian guys get together sharing their burdens and they sound like a bunch of just girls.
Amen.
They've been trained to talk a certain way. You know what's amazing? It's like, When terrible catastrophes happened during my childhood, not to me, but to the nation and other things, no one went around to high schools providing counselors for kids who were emotionally distraught because they thought the world was coming to an end. They started doing that when psychologists told us that's how we are feeling and we need to get that out of our system. They've trained us like Pavlov's dog just to be soft. There is a biblical casting your cares upon Christ, and there is one brother strengthening another brother, and that is good, and sometimes we all need that. But guys, we're just so, you know, even the Christian songs today, I hear some of these guys singing these songs, and they're just whining about all their feelings. It makes me want to throw up.
Amen, me too.
It's not what you are. You're being recreated in the image of something that's not biblical. Again, don't take this to an extreme. I'm not saying that you can't share your needs. I'm not saying that you can't do all these things. But be very careful. They've turned men into little emotional wastebaskets. And that's not what we are. We're supposed to deal with problems. We're supposed to carry burdens. We're supposed to carry things and not trouble our wives or our children with them. It ends with us. Again, there are times we can share with our wife. But guys, be very, very careful about becoming this emotionally needy person.
Amen.
That's not what you are. It's not what you were created to be. Now, listen to Jeremiah 12:5. And the Lord uses this verse in my life so much. If you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan?
Wow.
And it's
sometimes I'll
say, Lord, you know, these people said this, and these people are writing this about me, and these people twisted what I said in this book, and this did not happen this way, and all these different things. And it's like, Paul, if you can't run and be strong in the midst of this, how strong are you going to be when they throw you in prison? How strong are you going to be when you stand in a court of law and they totally defile your name and accuse you of things you never did? How are you going to stand when one day someone puts a gun to your head and tells you to deny me? If you can't run in this time of peace, how are you going to run when it really gets tough?
Freeze that right there, Jared. Those of you who are able to see the screen, I know there are a lot of you listening that can't see the screen. Just look at those pictures. Look at that picture of those guys sitting there. I think the first guy over here on the right, I think he's got a bottle of whiskey in his hand sitting on that thing. I'm not sure. That's what it looks like to me. I don't know. Look at those two guys down there on the other end lighting each other's cigarettes. No safety straps. No helmet. Now, I'm not saying that we're supposed to be careless. I'm not saying that you can't do anything anymore without government approval. Can't do anything. Jared, call up Psalm 34 for me. Psalm 34. Anybody want to jump in before I read this? Is Joe with us today? Silverman, I hope you're still out there listening. Psalm 34, Psalm of David.
I'm here, bro.
Verse 1. Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior. That'll preach. We changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Ooh, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear the Lord. Is that something? And he delivers them, just kind of a bonus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. Not love him, fear him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Boy, that would preach. Is that the churches today? Are the churches today teaching the children to fear the Lord? The parents don't even fear the Lord. I am a friend in God. I am a friend in God. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That doesn't mean bend over backwards and be a marshmallow and let them force their agenda down your throat, because while you are complying, you're not in peace.
And the don't eyes bend over forward.
Don't bend over forward, especially. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. To who? The righteous. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Can we get this inside of us? The Lord's face is against them that do evil. We just want to get them all saved. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Oh, hey, let's go there again. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and he wants to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Oh, Lord! You're not hearing this in these evangelical churches, are you? The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them out of all of their trouble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be as a contrite spirit. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, it ain't no big deal when you're getting afflicted. You're supposed to be. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, I love those buts. The Lord delivers them out of all of them. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. That's prophetic about the coming of the Savior. Evil shall slay the wicked. When's the last you ever thought of that? Evil shall slay the wicked. They're going to die in their own sin. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The boys. He's got to be the Lord. not the friend, not the Savior. He has to be the Lord. And if he's the Lord, then our duty is to be obedient to the Lord. Not to the latest opinion polls, not to what the government says, not to any of that stuff. Not to any of that. Somebody rescue me. How much time we got here? Got 5 minutes. Help me bring it home. I got 10 more things to talk about. Why'd y'all go silent on me?
Dave, I'll rescue you. Hey.
All right.
I like that. He's the Lord first, which means right. We are to worship him, not the Savior first.
No.
He's the no. Lord. I like that.
See, he saves you, and then he's your Lord, right? You can look at it either way you want to, but you cannot have him be your Savior if he's not your Lord.
Hey, Coach, that word, that worship,
good
in
deal.
Hebrew and Greek is the same. The word worship in Hebrew and Greek is the same definition. It is as a dog crouches back underneath the master's hand and for approval. That's worship. We are a dog coming to God.
Deal,
we're nothing.
Deal,
and
deal,
if you
I
get
went,
underneath.
I went for a run yesterday, you know. Not running real fast, but I was running anyway. I come around the corner, and this lady's chasing her dog. Now, he is one of those, he'd be a mean one, you know? Maybe, I don't know if he's a pit bull, but he looked like a pit bull to me. And I'm coming around the corner, and he's coming towards me, and I'm about to wet my pants. I don't know whether I'm supposed to punch him. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And she does this. She blew her fingers. And he stopped, and he went back, and Dale, he sat right down beside her as I walked by. Unbelievable what you just said. That is the truth. The Lord goes,
and we I keep stopped. Running.
And we keep running, brother. We keep running.
Hey, Roger.
You know, here's another truth to that, Coach. You know, you take discipline your dog. And I want to tell you something, just what you just said. You whistle, you snap your finger. Even in the discipline, that dog immediately comes back underneath your hand. When God disciplines us, brother, we get the big boudin lip and pouty lip and sit in the corner and suck on our thumb. And we want God to chase us like that lady chased the dog.
Amen. What a picture, Dale. What a picture that is, huh? Woo! He's my Lord. I babysit my son's German Shepherd. He's big. He could tear me to pieces. You know what? I'm his Lord. Sit! And he does. Wow, what a picture, Dale. What a picture. Good, Rod, you were saying something. We interrupted you.
No, I was saying that Roger, backing what Roger said up about, you know, he's the Lord and we're to worship him. But remember, obedience is the highest form of worship.
Well, sure. To obey is better than to sacrifice. To obey is better than to sacrifice. So that's where we are. It ain't easy, man. It ain't easy. What the Bible says in Corinthians, I think, we're peculiar people, not Corinthians. We're peculiar people. We're not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I told some, my buddy Norm, I can't remember who it was. I was talking to him the other day, and somebody asked me again, you miss coaching, and too bad you didn't get hired as this coach. And you know what I told him? Are you kidding me? There's 1,000 people that can coach football. Thousands. Thousands of good coaches out there. Ain't many can do what I do. I wear it as a badge of honor. I wear it as a calling. What is it, my dear friend, that the Lord has gifted you with that you won't take out of the closet? What is it? Because I'm telling you, it's something. And you got to stop taking that gift that you have and buffing it up real clean and then putting it back in the closet and not doing anything with it. You got to unsheath that thing and allow the Lord to move in your heart to do what it is that he wants to do through you. Because the saddest thing is going to be to stand at the at the horizon of your life and look back and realize how much stuff you didn't do out of fear or doubt or whatever it might be. Walk on some water. Step out of the boat. Do what the Lord's called you to. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.